Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, happy new year.
Happy new year. Happy 2017.
Happy 2017, Rob.
Thank you, Kevin. How did you spend your new year? Did you do anything fun?
With family, just like being like together
and friends.
What song was that?
That's a new one I made up. It's for my new musical called
Robert
Rob Goulet. Sings New Year.
Oh, I thought it was Robert Goulet.
It'll be at the Lucille Lortel February 9th.
I already got
through
tickets.
February 9th. I sneak in after Ride the Cyclone goes away and I just perform it on their set.
How's your new year?
It was wonderful.
Good.
Do you make resolutions?
No, I don't really do them because they're usually the same thing every year.
Which is one.
Work out more, don't eat so much, don't drink so much.
I am work out more, don't eat so much, stop sending tweets to Patti LuPone. And then I realized I was spelling it wrong. I was tweeting at a woman named Patti LuPone.
Oh, gosh.
Who runs a pizzeria in the Bronx.
We met,
and we are running away together.
Okay, so that's excited. That's romantic.
That's new. Pizzeria. Think of all the topics you're going to get on me. Yes, pepperoni too.
Wow.
That was horrible.
Hey,
that
no, horrible. You know what? It kind of scanned almost.
Oh, you know what? I won't say what I was going to say. I was going to say I know a lot of writers who almost scanning is a job well done. No names will be mentioned. Fill in the blanks.
Oh, my goodness. Being on a vacation is so nice.
Yeah.
The week after Christmas and the week, the first, half of the week of January, that week, that happens.
Yeah.
I like that time of the year.
Oof.
Because, nothing's going on. But you're going to start something new. So it's like going to school. Remember when you went to college and you're like, ooh, I'm going to go to my second semester.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always kind of exciting, And I do feel that way still about the new year. It feels like, ooh, I like a fresh start. I'm a sucker for a fresh start.
We hit that restart.
Yeah, totally. So that's why my resolution that I don't announce or don't even tell myself,
oh, really?
It's always there.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of like, oh, here's a new opportunity to go after it again.
It's a fresh start. It's a clean slate.
Yeah.
Four white walls and... From Personals to Musical.
So Rob was pointed to me and take it away, Kevin. And I was like, I'll be there for you. But same writing team.
So there we go.
All right.
First of all, we hope you have a wonderful new year. We wish you nothing but the best. We cannot wait to spend another year with all of you.
Yeah. And also, yes, definitely. And I can't believe, Rob, that we've been doing this for a year almost.
Kevin, do you know that next week will be our 50th episode of this?
No. That's crazy.
Next week will be our 50th episode.
That's crazy.
This has been a very good house ever since we married.
You kill me. You kill me just now because you were like,
it's kept...
ever. And then you get to the low notes and you're like,
ever.
Like I sound when I'm sick. That was amazing.
You know what? I'll tell you what. When I was growing up, the big cast recording I listened to all the time, I had two. It was Davis Gaines singing Boys from Syracuse. And Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Kiss Me Kate?
Ragtime.
Oh, my God.
So for some reason, I always thought, well, that's how you're supposed to sing. You're supposed to sing like Davis Gaines or Brian Stokes Mitchell. So I'll be working on a show because, I direct and stuff, and I'll be telling people. I'll be like, all right, so when you get here and you sing Something's Coming, it should be, who'd be, who knows? Okay? So let's try it again.
Could be, and you're like, nope,
no, that's not it.
A little more, a little.
Who knows, Maria? That's it.
Good tritone there.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Just met a girl named Maria. Do you ever see Grumpier Old Men?
Yes.
I like when Walter Matthau's in the boat,
yeah,
and he's met Sophia Loren named Maria, and he goes, Maria, Maria, and suddenly I see she's not the bitch I thought she'd be. Maria always makes
the
me
retired
laugh.
Version the of Maria. Version. That's really good.
I am excited because I have got a musical that I want to share with you because I just listened to it yesterday, and I really like it.
You're on the edge of your seat.
I am. It's one of my favorite things. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Yes. Let me see if you can guess it.
Okay. Oh,
okay. Okay. So this is one I listened to a while ago, and I'm like, right. Oh yeah, it's fine. And then I started listening to it again. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, I love a good revisit. I love a good revisit. And when you revisit a show, listeners, do you have this experience too? The collectors or music listeners out there, I find that when I listen to a show again that I listened to a while back, even 10 plus years, I'm like, I go right back to where I was. I remember exactly.
Yes.
Like, these shows will do that. Like, I'll be like, oh my goodness. I
like
remember.
Where you were when you first listened
to
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be like, the ski lift, 1989, Greek Peak, New York, upstate New York. I don't know. Like, I'll just remember exactly where I was.
With like a big like boombox on your shoulder.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
No. So what was.
Oh,
what,
so it, mine. Okay. I'm going to see if you can guess it. Okay, so here we go. Are you ready? 1962.
Okay.
Only 80 performances. 1962, only 80 performances. The star of the musical.
This is going to help.
Is best known for his performance in The Wizard of Oz.
Burt Lahr.
Not Burt Lahr.
Damn it.
Love Burt Lahr, though. That would be Foxy.
Jack Guilford.
No, not Jack Guilford. Jack Guilford, I don't think, was in The Wizard of Oz.
He definitely was not.
Jack Guilford saw The Wizard of Oz.
No, he definitely that was counts. Not. Who was Scarecrow?
Scarecrow was played by a guy named Ray Bolger.
Was Ray Bolger?
It was Ray Bolger.
Okay, thank you.
Getting Ray warmer. Bolger, yeah.
Getting warmer.
Music by Strauss and Adams.
Oh, not All American.
All American.
Once upon a time.
Sing it for me, Kevin.
Dee, 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 dee. But he's like, once upon a time.
Okay. So,
there was. Okay. So, yes. I'm
sorry.
Once
Ron
again,
Hussmann.
I'm getting ahead of you.
I think it's Ron Hussmann.
It is. That is correct.
Yes.
And this score by. So, this is the first score after Bye Bye Birdie.
First score after Bye Bye Birdie.
Book by.
Now, wait
sorry,
a minute.
Sorry, I'm getting
ahead. No, you're absolutely
this.
Right. This is really good trivia. Yes, the book is by somebody, but really only Act One is by this person.
Oh, really? So, no, I didn't know this.
Okay, so who wrote the book?
Well, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
But apparently he only wrote Act One and then was like, I've got other things to do. So
like, bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. I really can't do Act Two. And so Strauss and Adams, they all tried to cobble a second act out of this show. That's the story. Whether or not that's true, who knows? But it's by our producer's young Frankenstein friend, Mel Brooks.
So, I'm a huge fan of this score.
Isn't it good?
It is beautiful. It's completely different than Bye Bye Birdie. If Bye Bye Birdie is a hip, you know, picture it, 1960, hearing like this music that's got to be sincere. It's like Elvis, it's rock, it's all of this that predating, you know, hair, predating all of that sound.
Oh, yeah.
If you really put it in perspective, you know what I mean? Like, that's awesome in 1960 that was going on.
I don't think Bye Bye Birdie, I think we've forgotten that over time about Bye Bye Birdie.
Totally.
About
because
how, yeah.
We're a couple years after My Fair Lady. We're 3 years after West Side Story and Music Man, which won that year.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. So then 5-6 years later is All American, where Charles Strauss once again changes
once
his
again.
Voice.
Back to Charles Strauss again after last week's Rags. Yeah.
And it takes place on a college campus.
Yeah, so it takes place at, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Southern Baptist Institute of Technology.
So like Bob Jones University.
Like Bob Jones University. So Ray Bolger is a professor named Professor Professor Fodoresky. And he is a Russian professor who is really smart at engineering. He comes to this college. Their football team is losing. But through his genius at teaching them technology and engineering, they then realize that they can win more football games using the simple practice of engineering. So the engineering helps the football, and the football helps the engineering. And all of a sudden, all these big football teams across the United States start to realize that the professor's engineering schemes is what's going to make their football teams win, and he becomes a national treasure.
It's Michael Lewis's Moneyball, the musical, the baseball. It's like the football version of that.
Let's be honest. Even in 1962, this sounds dated.
No,
this sounds like
a
1920s,
it's like really
1930s.
I love a good sports musical, though.
Like,
I
let's
mean.
Have an excuse to sing. But so like you said, our big song from it is
"Once Upon a Time."
Once upon a time,
and because when you listen to it, the orchestra is playing the melody, and it's so beautiful. But Ray, I mean, is it Ron Hussmann?
I think
like
it's Ron Hussmann.
Once upon a time, so long ago. He just speaks it. But the music's like the melody is truly one of the most beautiful melodies I've ever heard Charles Cross write.
Once upon a time.
It's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous song. So is What a Country. It's not a gorgeous song. It's a fun song. It's a song called What a Country that opens up the show. Then this is something that really fascinates me. You know, musicals used to have this idea that there was a little bit of legs for the tired businessman, right?
That's right. Like the Oklahoma Review when they were like, no legs, no girls, no chance.
So it's supposed to be the tired businessman. They're coming to see a little TNA.
Give me a little something, something.
Right? Yeah. There was a director named Josh Logan.
Yes, there was.
Josh Logan directed All American, but he also directed things like South Pacific. And I think I'm doing this right. I think he did Wish You Were Here.
Yes, he did, very famously. Because they had a pool.
Swimming pool
there was
on the
a
stage,
swimming pool
right?
on stage. Yeah, and it was a flop, but then they turned it into a hit.
We should talk about Wish You Were Here at some point. That would be a good one for us.
Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Josh Logan also, I think, realized that there were tired businessmen out there, but not all the tired businessmen would be straight. So in all of his shows, there's always these scenes where like these really gorgeous, sexy men just like walk by without any shirts on and they sort of strut around. And I think he's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's for the ladies in the audience. I don't think it's for the ladies, Josh. I mean, I think they might be enjoying it, but not as
early 60s.
Not as much as I think that executive from, you know, Madison Avenue that would always make a little stop by off the Ramblings on the way home, if you know what I mean. He's the one telling his wife, honey, let's get tickets to All American, and then we'll get a new duvet cover.
Let's see it again. I love it. Let's see it. Oh, you like that pillow?
You like that totally. Throw pillow? My husband's just artistic. So the big number of Josh Logan's in this it's called the Josh Logan TNA number. It's not even TNA. It's just A. Is a song called Physical Fitness.
Physical Fitness.
You know it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So all these naked men, like, come out on stage in the locker room and just, like, walk around and show off their muscles, and they all form, like, a human pyramid.
Right, and they do, like, push-ups, and they, like,
It has really totally. Nothing to do with the story,
kind of like that song
se.
From Best Little Whorehouse in Texas,
oh,
you know?
Oh, the
like...
Aggie song. Now, so my husband's in the next room. he's gonna kill me.
Shh.
He loves the Aggie song. Like, I don't think he's
ever kidding. Of course he does.
Anything
he
else?
He probably would like Physical Fitness too, Rob.
Oh my God. So he will invest in a production of All American.
Just to get the physical
just
fitness.
To see the Physical Fitness number.
As long as they're in jock straps.
But I think, as long
sorry,
as
sorry, I'm kidding.
No. No, but that's what they do in the Whorehouse movie.
Oh my God.
So he loves the Aggie song, but that's like, anytime we talk about a musical, he's like, have you ever seen the Aggie song? And I'm like, yes, at 6 o'clock and at 7 o'clock and at 8 o'clock. So yes, I'm very familiar with the Aggie song.
Oh wow!
So anyway, Physical Fitness is the art.
No,
Josh
All
Logan
American is such a great. That's a
yeah.
Good
so
one.
I think listen, and I read the book. I think the book is really
you did?
Funny. There's a script version. It's published. It's available for rights. Nobody wants to pick it up. I'm wondering. Encore.
It's unknown. It's one of those unknown names, Encores? Right? Like they can't do a show that they don't know the name of.
Encores. Nathan Lane. Encore?
It seems obvious to me.
Jefferson Mays. Encore is just
the
do
score
it.
Sings too. It's not. Yeah. It, you know, if you can do It's a Bird, It's a Plane, then you can certainly make All American work. You know,
absolute. Another Strauss and Adams, right?
You know, yeah, exactly.
Jeez, God, my God, this guy. Let's get him on this podcast. So mine for to start off the new year, ladies and gentlemen, All American, 1962. Charles Strauss, Lee Adams, and half a book by Mel Brooks. Oh
love
my God,
it.
I forgot to tell you the most important part about All American. So. Ray Bolger's big musical theater turn was in Where's Charlie, where he got the whole audience to sing Once in Love with Amy.
Right, and famously was not, there was no cast recording of the original Broadway production of this damn show that Frank Lesser of Guys and Dolls.
But
and
to have him come up and sing Once in Love with Amy, the whole audience and sings along with him. He gets them in a sing-along, which is so genius. He wanted to do the same thing on All American. And he tried to get the whole cast at the end of the show to sing along with What a Country. But the audience was like, the song isn't that memorable, so we really can't sing along with it.
What a Country. No, not so much.
So it led a lot of awkward post-curtain call experiences. But there's Mr. Bolger trying to recapture his magic.
Not even trying to collect money for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, too.
Just What a Country.
Just What a Country.
What a Country.
Nice try, Ray.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
What a show do you have for us, Thomas?
So I actually have a book.
A book? I can't read.
You actually know this book very well. I'm looking on your shelf because I know it's here.
Do I have it?
I don't see it, but I know you have it. This is a book of a guest that we have. Actually, I do see it. This is a book of a guest that we had, and we actually really enjoyed interviewing her.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So I have The Untold Stories of Broadway, Volume 1, by Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
Our good friend, the genius of Broadway,
yes.
Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
She is a legend before her years.
Yes.
You know, she is going to be a legend. She already is, for all intents and purposes, but she's a young legend at that. And we had a great interview with her. We interviewed her before I'd read the book, full disclosure. And so I was like, oh, yeah, this is great books. And one night I just bought the books and I thought, oh, I'll read them when I read them. They're big. They look kind of look like a coffee table book. And you're kind of like, all right, yeah, I'll read that when I can. So volume one, what Jennifer did was document the history of Broadway theaters.
Yeah.
Past and present. And the shows, but more importantly, the people who lived in them and worked in them.
Not just actors.
Across the board.
Ushers, technicians,
stagehands, company managers, the people who work the front of the house, the people who work the back of the house, the people who are on stage, the people who are the follow spot. I mean, like every
that
single...
Your theater is a community.
It really is, Rob.
And she interviewed... It takes a village, and she interviewed every person in that village.
You know, I had a recent experience speaking of community with theaters that I was rocked by. So I did a little night music at the Walter Kerr Theater. That was a while ago, let's say. That was 5 or 6 years ago. It was 2009 to January of 2011. And I went back for the first time to the Walter Kerr Theater, and I saw falsettos, which was beautiful. But the minute I got to the outside of the theater, the house manager, Kevin, how are you? Didn't know he would even remember me. Then the head usher, he was like, Kevin, how you doing? Because I was friendly with all of them back then. And then the other usher I recognized. I mean, it was like
it's
old
going
home week.
Always a home.
I did not expect that at all. I was in the ensemble of Little Night Music. It was like, why would you know me? But I just couldn't believe that all the shows and all the people that it was like going home. Well, this book celebrates those theaters. It celebrates the people who work in them and the jobs that they do. And a lot of these people, you know, the guy that, you know, who runs the company, you know, the house manager of that theater could have been there for 30, 40 years. Think of all the shows and all of the people that he's met, in addition to the audiences that are there every single day that they are,
yes,
you know, supporting. But really, it's a celebration of, yes, all of them. And so this volume one, Jennifer's going to eventually take care of all of the theaters.
Oh, God,
there's,
yeah,
three volumes of this book out right now. And so the first volume takes care of the Richard Rogers Theater, where Hamilton is, the Winter Garden Theater, where School of Rock is, the Marquee Theater, where On Your Feet is, the Hirschfeld, where Kinky Boots is, the Lyceum, the Simon, the Wilson, and the much-loved Hellinger Theater, which is now the
Church.
Right, which you can still go into. My friend Kevin Daly, who we all know from,
yes,
he said you can go into there and you can look at the stained glass. Everything is all still as it was.
And just a reminder to our audience really quickly, the Hellinger was home to My Fair Lady, Rags, Grind.
Yeah.
Some of my favorites.
I love that the Grind was
left. Grind
was
is up there. I love Grind.
Hey, you're right.
Sorry.
You're exactly right. I was going to go on, and then I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to go on Grind. So the thing that shocked me about this book is that I kind of how should I say this? I prejudged the book a little bit because I thought, oh, it's just going to be like, and then this show was there, and then this show was there, but it's not at all. What I really love about the book is that it's a narration of the theater. It's like the theater is telling the story of their own theater. And what you get in their narration, though, is in chronological, you know, order, the people involved in the shows in order. So if she interviewed someone who was actually there in the 50s, 60s, that story's first. You hear about the world that that theater was in. And then she interviews the actors of maybe a show in the 80s or 90s or whatever. And so you get kind of like a big picture. But you get to hear themes of these theaters and how special these theaters are and all of that. And it is chronological. But then she also has her own little anecdotes that she'll write in. Because in interviewing these people, she would often interview them off-site, not just at the theater. And the thing that I really loved about hearing about these theaters is the old hangout spots in Midtown Manhattan.
Which don't exist anymore.
That don't exist anymore. And so, and you probably know these places better, but one of the places that closed in the 70s was called Dinty Moore's. This old, like, you know, stagehand hangout
place.
They
mention it in Do Re Mi.
They do. These places are lyrics.
Dinty Moore's, we're coming back. Yes, thank you.
And also, you got the Hotel Edison, you know, that had its own Broadway theater, which is, I think she talks about it in volume two.
Edison for years.
That's right. She talks about that in one of her other books. But then you also have the Edison Cafe, which tragically closed this past year. But, like, that was the last of the great theater. When I came to New York in 1998, or 2002, you still had the Howard Johnsons.
Like, I remember
that was
the Howard
on
Johnsons.
The corner of where the Lunt Fontaine Theater is in Broadway there. That was, you know, you had these hangout spots that were like all the theater people after the show, they'd go there, hang out and talk in the stagehand. I mean, you had your spots. And now, of course, we have Bar Central and we have, you know, well, Angus Close, but, you know, we have our places, but the world was different back then. And I love this idea, this image of like, you know, going to the theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, we interviewed Evan Pappas, and he went to that bar that's where the Marius Marquis is now.
Yeah.
And he said that when he first came to New York and he had his first audition to Chorus Line, he went to the bar, and they're like, oh, yeah, the music director for Chorus Line's coming in after the show. The music director came in, and he was like, hey, I'm auditioning for your show tomorrow. And, you know, and he's like, oh, I'll bring the score. What do you want to sing? Oh, I'll sing West Side Story. I'll bring the score tomorrow. You know, this sense of community.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. I really am. And the book really celebrates that world that still exists, but really was very special before the internet and before all of, you know, what we have today. So
get her books.
I'm a huge I knew I would love it, but I didn't know that it would be so well done.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you too, because when I first picked it up, I thought it was gonna be, you know, I thought it was going to be gossipy, you know. Oh, and then, you know, Joan was caught making out with Jane behind the curtain, blah, blah, blah.
That's good, yeah.
And it's so moving and it's so touching. So I could go on for her genius for hours, and I can go on for the book's genius for hours. Volume 3 just came out in November of 2016. It is fabulous. It is wonderful. And my hope, my big hope is?
What's that?
Is that once after she's done all of the New York theaters, she does a regional book and talks about like the Amundsen and the
Fox
Guthrie.
Theaters and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. The Muni. I mean, you know, she does enough. You know, so but
her passion is for the history of these theaters,
yeah.
And because it encompasses so many people and places and things and audiences, because audiences also have personal relationships with the shows that they see. You know, how many people did we interview that saw My Fair Lady for the first time and were like, you know, like Peter Felicia, who was you know, that was a momentous moment in my life.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, and then when you go to see now, the bonus is that when I go to see theater now, I'm now looking at the theater, I'm taking in everything around me, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is exactly what people saw 100 years ago.
Yeah.
This is where you can actually go, except for the amplified sound, but like this is exactly the way it used to be.
I have a question for you. When you go to see a show at a theater, a show that you've really liked, I'm not even phrasing this correctly, like let's say you go to the Richard Rodgers.
Mm. I saw Hamilton just a couple months ago.
And when you walk into Hamilton, do you have a flash of your most favorite show that you've seen there?
I instantly think of the last time I was in that theater, of course.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But then now that I read this book, I know that Richard Rodgers has the most Tony Award winning shows of any single theater on Broadway, something like 7 or 8
shows.
Yeah,
it's a lot, right?
It's insane. And so you think,
like everything was
Guys
there,
and
yeah.
Dolls, I mean, you can't even believe all the shows that worked there. And you think, All these people had their special moment in this theater, and yet that theater gives itself to all those people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not just. But and when you're in that moment, you think you're the first person who ever had that special moment there. But no, Hamilton's not the first people to have a standing ovation in that theater and have people lose their shit over that show. But there's something about that space, and I don't believe in a lot of that hocus pocus, but I do. There's something about when you walk in, it's reverence.
Yeah.
It's a shrine. It's I don't know.
It's so funny. Like, when I go to the Walter Kerr, the show that I saw there, out of all the shows I saw at the Walter Kerr that I loved the most, was Grey Gardens for me.
I love.
And so every time I go, even if I'm seeing Little Night Music or if I'm seeing falsettos, I'm like, this is the Grey Gardens Theater.
Fair. Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean? That for some reason, that never goes away. And then maybe there'll be something there that one day that'll replace that memory for whatever reason.
Yeah, but sure.
I think Jen really beautifully captures all of this. And it is a labor of love for her and all of her, you know, interns and assistants who put all of this stuff together. Oh, so mad props to everybody.
And I think that it's a great read for not just the people in the industry, but lovers of the theater and all of that. I think that you can get a lot out of these books, not just, you know, it's a history book as well as, you know, a fan, you know, or being a lover of it. You can learn a lot about
Think it exposes people to jobs they probably didn't even realize were available to them.
Totally.
Because you can love theater and do theater and not have to be on stage. And I think this book shows you there's 90 million jobs that are waiting for you.
That's right.
So Untold Stories of Broadway Volume 1 by the brilliant, wonderful Jennifer Ashley Tepper. And
All American. Well done.
Thank you. Strauss and Adams.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Here's to a great 2017.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.